break. It's a mini episode.
Hello and welcome to another mini-sode of You Gotta Check This Out with Mike and Dre. I'm the Mike, and this week will be our very last word on Babylon 5. Unless Dre decides that Gray 17 needs yet another deep dive. Your guess is as good as mine at this point. Anyway, during the full episode, Dre kept a thread going about Babylon 5 fan theories. So I cut them all up and just kind of put them closer together here. That and a few outtakes from the episode that I thought were worthy. Anyway, relax and enjoy, y'all.
I'm going to call you in, Carl, as an outside referee. And Mike, you're welcome to jump back in and be wrong. Sure. I respect you.
Right.
One of the things I have enjoyed about this entire process, Mike, with your friends and our friends coming on, is like headcanon fan theories, etc. And Jeff May inadvertently introduced something that I thought was amazing and really dug. Which is, I'm betting you cried at this, Carl, right? The end of the show is Ivanova saying that Delenn woke up every morning to watch the sunrise because the last thing she did with John Sheridan the day before was watch the sunrise because he had never done that. So they watched the sunrise together, and then he said, I'm going off for a drive. I'm complaining to events. Yeah. But so here's the thing. Here's the thing that I absolutely loved is Jeff noted that when Sheridan leaves, he's watching basically the sunset on the universe before he goes off beyond the rim with Lorian and everybody else. And we see Delenn, that I'm sorry, the pedant jerk in me pointed out. I'm like, Ivanova doesn't know that she watched every night because Ivanova would have died before. Sorry, it's just what my brain does. But Ivanova is saying that Delenn watched the sun every morning, and we see her sitting and Sheridan sitting next to her. And Jeff was like, is it possible that Sheridan became one with the universe, because Delenn has said that we're all star particles, whatever. When he died and goes beyond the rim, he becomes part of the universe. His life comes back. And that one moment, the sunrise, is when his spirit can be there. She can briefly see him. And this isn't even puffing smoke, because go all the way back to season one with O'Hare, with Captain Sinclair, fun rhyme there, where Jakar has this religious ceremony where they're supposed to pray to at exactly sunrise. And he says, hey, you missed it. But by the way, if we do some extrapolation, the sun from this thing is going to hit the station at this moment. So it still counts. So I'm asking Carl as a guest referee, because I actually thought, in spite of the cynicism in the episode, I was like, that is a really cool thought. Because I took it as Delenn remembering her husband and sitting and remembering, and that's still a very sad moment. And then I thought it went further to even tie into Delenn's arc in our mythology of being like, this one moment, this sunrise, is the moment where you're actually able to connect, like legitimately, like on an astral level. And that aligns with Delenn saying, we're all star beings, we're connected.
That is intriguing. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but I can see the logic leading to that idea. And that is interesting. I have to think about that a little bit. Again, I'm the same way. I think it's her remembering, but the concept of we are the universe made manifest, which is also an homage to Carl Sagan, because we are literally star stuff. The atoms that make us up are the same that's in our chair and the water we drink and this table. We're literally bits of the universe that have become emergent, and we're thinking about ourselves. Could it be that the moment of transition, going off with the Valar or what have you, in Maj, like you said, with Jaquan F, and the idea that the light is just now reaching us, so you can, that's a good enough reason for your religious ceremony to go forward. That would be intriguing. Yeah, I like that. It's very poetic.
I think it's not necessarily in the text of the episode itself, because I think the text of the episode, they're showing what you thought, Carl, what I thought, is that she's just remembering him. But I think all of that is in the text of Babylon 5 itself, if you take the whole series as a whole, especially if we go back to as far as the first few episodes of season one with the Minbari souls and the soul catcher guy who was immediately started implanting this whole thing about human and Minbari souls coming together, being as one. And if they didn't take it too much further than Valen and Sinclair and going in the past, but if you take that, I think it wouldn't be too much of a stretch for JMS to have dropped a couple of hints, maybe even in the flashbacks to Minbari souls sticking around, that Sheridan has transcended that by going to the Outer Rim for Lorien, and that's one of the things he can be able to do. It's not in the episode, but it's a very short walk to figure that out.
Well, we were doing it, and I was like, that is a really clever, like, it fits in the mythos of the show. And again, this is not someone who's just saw it the first time, so I thought that was, like, a sweet moment. And I'm loving this, Mike, because I'm oscillating back and forth.
What I like is the, and I've said this before, the kind of mirroring or tribute that JMS has for Tolkien, and to the point where, you know, the god that Sheridan meets is named Lorien, who's the Vala of dreams. It's literally one of the Valar, and him going to the sea, literally crossing the sea, going into the uttermost west to be in the Blessed Realm, which also can tie into potentially the earlier thought about Delenn maybe having some sort of spiritual communion with Sheridan, because he was taken bodily into paradise with the other divine powers, so to speak. So on some level, he still exists somewhere.
Oh, by the way, this is another guest referee moment for you, Carl, because it was a question that came up. Do you think Delenn goes beyond the rim as well when she passes? Of course, she has a very long life. She was touched by Lorien as well, involved in all of it. It would be logical.
I'm not sure. Sheridan becomes like Eärendil, right? He's taken, and Eärendil became the star, the evening star and the morning star. And like Sheridan becomes the sun almost, maybe.
So, I'm counting it. Headcanon.
You know, so like he's there but unreachable, just like Eärendil is in the sky. In regards to Delenn, I don't know, because like we see in that flash forward episode, like she's ancient, lecturing those folks at that committee. Was she taken? I'm tempted to say no, but because she didn't really have any kind of communion with the powers, so it's impossible to say. I would love to say, wouldn't that be great? But I don't know. And that ambiguity is okay. I'm okay with that.
Works for me. All right, Mike. So clearly I am without a script. I don't know where to go. There's nothing else going on, right? As far as I know. Are you going to let me do this bit the last show, Mike? Let me keep doing it.
Keep going. Stretch it out. Oh, I'm doing the stretch work. Stretch it out.
This is
keep
actually
going,
a nice call back to the bit, one of our very first episodes. I will say this. I am a babbler. That is true. Mike intentionally ignores pregnant pauses, and it's an audio medium, so you all can't see this. I can see him. Mike, no, I'm not being as direct as to point at him, but it is, if we were playing jazz or music, it is very clearly taken away, Mike. And there have been several times where Mike just looks at me and is like, let's see where this goes. And I'm like, everybody knows I'm a babbler. They're going to think I'm an even bigger babbler than I already am.
The gift of gab.
This feels unfair. The last couple of quizzes, Carl, have been me against the Johnstons, which literally I've literally just not buzzed in to just make sure it's entertaining. This one I feel outclassed, and I'm going to be thrown back. So I'm excited, though.
Yeah, this didn't come up on Pete's episode, but Pete was a Jeopardy champion. There was a time when I set up a Simpsons trivia night at my house, and my buddy and I were ready to wipe the table with a bunch of people because we had watched Simpsons forever. Pete Johnson, I did not know about, and he happened to be there. The guy, just before the second word was out, he would just have the answer to every single Simpsons trivia thing and on to become a Jeopardy champion one day.
No shit. So, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. So you can go back to the last couple episodes. Pete's been on there.
But Mike, I am going to briefly take this as a moment. If we need to move this around as editors, I do want to give a huge shout out to the guests that made this show, Mike Slater and Karen Slater, who booked them. Mike, you were very upfront to say that your wife, Karen, helped tremendously in booking the guests. When we started this, I was not anticipating the slew of guests we got, and they were legitimately ridiculous, came up with so many fan
theories.
In the best
way possible.
Yeah, with one of my next projects, Carl, just as an FYI, is to start making all of the fan theories that I've loved that just some amazing minds have come up with and start putting them out there, including Jeff's It Is the Light. And you have really, like, Carl, you gave so much fire to that. I asked you and you said, I don't know, but all the stuff you said lined it up. But Mike, I think we can do this in order. I'll just say it. I'm going to say huge shout out to Karen Slater, Evan Stightley, Jaina Mistry, Taylor Anthony, Megan Bushhausen, Najma Salam, part of my favorite tag team, the Naj and Nate connection, Alice Michi Lee, Michael Vincent Bramley, Carl Wolf, in the house right now. David Christopher Bell, the Flint brothers, Nate and Adam, Hannah Michaels, Logan Trent, John Ryman, Eight Fedoroff, Dan Alvarez, Ryan Bond, Bill Johnston, and Pete Johnston, and Jeff Mann, Adam Todd Brown. Holy cow, what a freakish slate of guests we got, Mike. And also made it for the Blitzcast, including Carl Wolf.
Yeah. Woo! That's been like, we'll stay on this tangent here since we're talking about guests. That has been the biggest surprise about doing this podcast with you for the past year is just how crucial having the guests on and how much better it all of you, Carl, have made the show for us. We didn't realize, we thought we were going to have an occasional guest once on to try and show them something. And then after we did it a couple times, it became very clear that was the essence of the show, is it's not just going to be me and Dre showing, introducing each other to stuff that we like. There's always going to be that third person, either bringing something of their own on or having us show them something.
Oh, no, and the great foils, Doctor needs his companion, and me as one of the guests, just participating a few times. I also want to thank all your guests for participating, and also for you guys for putting this on, and it's wonderful.
Cool. Thanks again for being on, but I got to get back on track and back to the quiz. All right. Oh, and looks like we've struck another bonus question for this category. So it looks like we have the fifth question of this four-question quiz. It's going to be, why does the AI want to kill Mike in that episode? Do you remember, Dre, the actual reason the evil AI clone Mike wants to come and kill me?
I am so furious, just as an FYI. I have been re-listening to old episodes to collect. Since we're at the end, I want to start actually mining old content and releasing, hey, cool clips, cool things. And Mike, I literally just got done writing notes from Evan Stitely on Chrysalis, so I didn't get to. I'm so furious right now, Mike, because you literally picked the cutoff of where I am in my re-listen.
I think I'm just going to have
Mike
both
is you, terrible. Mike, yeah, that's my answer.
I was going to have you guys
Mike.
Both tell
F
a story.
Mike is my answer.
And whichever story is best is the one we'll win. So far, Dre's story is just three words. Mike is terrible. Carl, do you have a better story
why AI
might want to kill me?
Those ain't the three words, Mike. You know the three words.
You got a love of Narn opera.
Ooh, I like that better. Yeah, getting in Narn opera, now he can't stand it, so he's out to kill me.
That's
no,
right.
The actual reason he wants to kill me is I told the AI that he would be like the guest on the show, and then we forgot and just let him sit on the Zoom call for 2 hours.
Oh, you Moriarty'd him. Gotcha, like yep. In Star Trek. I love it. Okay. And then, by the way, Mike, my runner-up and a funny one, I have always been a Gray 17 apologist.
Yes.
Shut up.
Yes. Okay, no, hear me out. First off,
maybe
Carl.
From the B-plot.
I will say, you said the right thing, Carl. Anybody that doesn't think that the B plot of Delenn becoming Ranger One and Narun and Marcus fighting and the choreography was actually good and that story was good and that thing was good, like that story, if it wasn't paired with the stupid England hidden thing, was amazing. So, like, I always feel bad because, like, I'm watching that and I'm like, this amazing story is unfairly maligned because it was paired with something else.
Just that's like TKO, man. Oh my God.
What? Oh yeah, TKO having the amazing Ivanova arc. Yeah, I would say, because TKO is my real worst episode, but yeah, I'll give it that too. It does have a decent B plot. So there's one. And two, the argument I've made, Carl, is that I thought that Gray 17 is missing was JMS doing a rough draft of Zaha Doom because the plots are very similar. And Gray 17 is missing failed, and I think part of it was network meddling, because clearly he was supposed to use the gun at the end, and I think the network is like, you can't show you shooting a gun on the show, and you're like, cool. So
a pipe blower thing.
But that exact plot line where it's basically a horror movie, Zaha Doom is basically
when he's in the depths, eventually meets Lorian. Oh wow, I hadn't thought of that, but I think you might be right. Wow.
Carl keeps reinforcing me, Mike. My ego's going to get too big after this show.
Everything except best character. Yeah. A vote forever.
All right. It's like the Narn. Learned it watching Sheridan. I learned it watching you, Mike. I'm going to expand our things to our last thing, which was fan theories. Carl, I'm so excited to have you here because throughout the show, Mike, as I keep mentioning, various guests would bring theories. We had Jeff May bringing up that Sheridan is the light made manifest with Delenn. We had Evan Stitely kept coming up with reasons. There is a reason why all of the Down Below people dress like newsies, because they're all out of work actors. We have theories about why door-to-door salespeople come back and why people use briefcases for jugs because of Hardness in Space. So many great fan theories that help. We're doing this, right? As I nitpick the show and then we'd have guests come on and explain, like, that makes a lot of sense. But I had one that was a favorite. I do feel bad doing this because we had a bunch of fun guests. But my favorite was Logan Trent. And this is multi-tier. I apologize, you both.
I know this one.
But not really. Logan Trent came in, and I was so used to this, Carl, of comparing Babylon 5 to Deep Space Nine and, of course, Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Those are the obvious.
Yep. We're explaining Babylon 5 to Logan Trent, and he's like, isn't that just Apocalypse and Charles Xavier from the X-Men? When we were explaining the dichotomy of the Shadows and the Vorlons. And you have this telepathic race that is manipulating people into doing their bidding, Charles Xavier. And the Shadows are like, only the strong will survive, right?
Only the strong shall survive!
That's in front of this show. And so Logan, isn't that just X-Men? And we were like, maybe. And he's, is there a redheaded telepath? Is there a guy with retractable claws that's in love with the telepath? And I was just like, Babylon 5 is X-Men. I was like, what's going on?
It was all the Shire, like the hair stuff going on. They look exactly like the Centauri.
Here in it, there is the person out in space. Charles Xavier falls in love basically with a bird.
Gray 17 is the brood. Gray 17 is the brood.
Exactly. So all of that popped in. So that's part one. So that was my favorite. But this naturally led to two other things, which in thinking about, I just love, which is one, it's Professor X as Kosh versus Apocalypse, the Shadows. And did the Shadows win the Shadow War? And the logic being, the Shadows were arguing for destruction. The Vorlons were arguing for order. When did the younger races all get together? It was when the Vorlons finally started being destructive, and that's when everybody got together. So when they're riding out with Lorian to, maybe Lorian stays behind, but in theory, when they're riding out behind, like in the, I was in my head, I've got in the car, the Shadows being like, what finally got the younger races all together? Was it order or was it destruction? That's one. However, I got a second plot twist for you, Carl. Second plot twist. Follow up, though. What gets the god races in order? It's when Lorien shows up and says, you need to listen to your elders and respect order. And that's when the god races. So the Vorlon strategy of order applied to the god races. Mm. And the Shadow strategy of destruction applied to the younger races. And this all came about from Logan pointing out that this is just X-Men. Mic drop.
Yep, I feel dropped.
Yeah. And as this was an unknown category to either of you, if either of you have fan theories that came up during You Got to Check This Out or your own, happy to hear them. Or since you were surprised, I can just take it for myself, Mike, and just win and not have to compete and worry about your judging. No.
My favorite was the one that came up earlier about Corbin and the Abercrombie stuff, that there's an Abercrombie store somewhere in the Down Below or somebody shipping that in and getting the good clothes. Like, you know, that's my favorite fan theory.
When he stopped wasting money on Ivanova and he just started, and like, that's hey, what he started.
Let's treat Corwin right. I'm just going to treat Corwin right. We'll get these nice shirts in the Down Below.
Damn, that's pretty good. And then Carl, putting you on the spot, but no worries, and we'll edit it out of knots.
Oh, geez. Actually, there were so many theories of the show that I'm not even sure anymore. I like the ones you guys have brought up. Those are different takes I hadn't really thought of. I remember the theories we had when the show was still going on, some of the weird ones, especially with the lead up into third season. The Shadows were connected to some other kind of dimension and this kind of stuff. I still think one of my headcanons is that Lorien really is one of the Valar. And maybe that's cheating because it's kind of going back to Tolkien and those connections are already there. But I like to think that they're like literally the Valar are involved with things.
It's like the Patton Oswalt thing where he brings all the different universes together in his speech in Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
All
yeah,
the different multi-universes coming together.
Yeah. Something like that. Yes.
There's no reason it could. If JMS is just saying things go in cycles and it's like there's no reason why if they were on Middle Earth that if you just go until they get to the stars, yeah, they'd still be around. They'd still have the same stuff. That tracks.
Oh, yeah. I have a question. I don't know if this is a fan theory. Drop War and the final war with Mordred. So we assume David's going to be taken over by a keeper and lead a rebellion against the galaxy, against his parents. That's where I think a lot of the Arthurian legend falls into place. So you have Lanier is obviously Lancelot, who betrays his lord and lady, but then redeems himself at the end. And David getting taken over by the Keeper is obviously Mordred. Obviously, he has a happier end and is saved, but I think that's definitely how that war pans out.
Yeah, the biggest allusion, that's clearly in the text, because the next series is going to be called Crusade.
Yes.
So it's, I think that's there's definitely, if not in the text, yeah, it was on JMS's mind for sure with the way the series is going.
Oh, I like that. Frustratingly, I will say there were some books and stuff. I'd be remiss now that we've had the love fest to not briefly come back with in Crusade, Lanier and Talia were going to show up and basically die. There's a scene in Crusade where a telepath facility is blown up and he was like, originally that he was going to have them slated. And I'm like, that wasn't better. But so it's, there was some stuff on the docket that I don't think was better written, but I think with more thought and rope, there were obvious connections there that would have been good. So
I didn't know that. That would be freaking awesome. I would have loved to have seen that.
In the book, in the books, David, is basically brought back when Garibaldi helps them take out.
Oh my God, that's right. There are whole those whole book series. Oh, and
which are fine. Like, yeah, and there are online videos recapping them because they're out of print, of course. Unless you all have been doing your homework and taking them to Commonwealth Books in Massachusetts, but they are out of print, unfortunately. I've looked them up and like they're fine, but it's like I do think had the same grandiose thinking that it was done for the first five seasons been done for some of the follow-up stuff and not been constrained with, hey, I want my actors to get a job on the show I'm on. A lot could have happened. If anything, that's like the joy of this show is the universe is so vast, the fans can like have these theories and they fit right in.
Well, well said, Mike. Thanks for the pointers. I'm going to look some of that stuff up.
Yeah.
Thanks again for listening. And you heard it. We're starting a new season next week. So if you haven't read it, please check out the comic book, The Power Fantasy by Kieran Gillen. It's free on Hoopla, which is a fantastic app for borrowing books from your local library. Better yet, all three trades are available, so you have a good excuse to support your local comic shop as well. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on your podcast app. And better yet, if you know someone who likes Babylon 5, ask them to check out our show. We appreciate you all. Cheers.